When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Liren sucks.
He is my least favorite character in Stormlight. I hate him more than Moash.
If anyone disagrees, comment why you're wrong. Liren just doesn't make sense.
Da 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 da.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
And today we are talking Stormlight Archive.
Oh, yeah.
Books 1-4, ranking every single character in...
Not every single character.
Every single major character in the Stormlight Archive. And not just every major character. I picked out pretty minor, significant characters. So we're going to be ranking 56 characters.
Oh, Lord.
This is a part one, so we're ranking the first half of that. What's half?
You mean people don't want to watch a 4-hour video?
No,
ranking characters.
I don't think so, but we're gonna split this into two parts and go. Like, I've got some characters in here. I will cover all the characters you're thinking about in your head, audience. I promise. I basically went to the Stormlight Wiki.
We pick 50 characters and we don't rate Kaladin.
just to make it even worse. So I picked out all the characters on the Stormlight Wiki that had an image attached to them. Because a bunch of characters on there have just their name and they're just mentioned. You want to know how many characters are mentioned in the Stormlight Archive?
Shoot.
Pick a number. Character names that are mentioned.
Character names?
Yes.
Mentioned. I'm going to go with 200.
769.
That's a lot.
Like Sanderson.
It's not as much as Wheel of Time.
Sanderson.
But damn.
But he gives us content. This is great for us. And we before Dragonsteel comes up, the big event in December, if you guys are going, we will be there.
Yep.
And
so we want to say hi. We will be there. It's going to be fun.
We'll probably be promoting our merch that you see us displaying.
By the way, if you want to buy our merch, it's linked in the description below or on a banner. It's cool. We did stuff, especially the bookmarks. Bookmarks we're pretty proud of.
We haven't been promoting it, but Rich mentioned it one episode, and all of a sudden people started buying the merch, and we went, that works.
It was amazing. There were just weeks of no sales at all. And I'm going, man, merch is just not a very profitable thing. And then we mentioned it once, and wow, sales. Who would have thunked it?
We are learning from Sanderson, because as you can see behind us, we have the Stormlight minifigs. We are huge Stormlight fans. I think I'm bigger, just a bit.
I think so.
But
a smidge. A smidge.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
We spent hundreds. I think those right there cost $300.
Yes.
For those right there.
Those right there. Those cost $300.
We have a box behind Rich. Why don't you take out that box? We got the space now with the new set. This is full. Full to the brim with Stormlight shit. Look, just, it's endless. Look, show all of it is Stormlight. And then not to mention, behind Rich, in the corner above Rich, I think it's off camera, but we have Tress, Yumi, Frugal Wizard's Handbook, Sunlit Man, all the special editions. So, we like Sanderson?
I think so.
Yeah.
I will say, the box of Sanderson stuff does make me, like, I'm looking at all these unpainted minifigs and going like, I've never painted a minifig in my life. Why did I buy this?
It's that ambition you have where it's like, I'm gonna start doing a new hobby.
Oh, yeah. I'm the king of starting new hobbies and never finishing them. I start a lot of projects.
You know what? We could do that for a live one day. If anybody wants to see us do that for a live, Rich and I could paint the minifigs here. Let us know if you'd all want to see that. That'll be fun. And so I will be very open and honest for a second and say tier list videos aren't always my favorite.
True.
Sometimes we play into, hey, what would people want to watch into a tier list video? What? And, you know, sometimes ranking romanticy stuff and tropes can be fun because it can get us talking about a bunch of things maybe we didn't talk about before.
Yeah, it's not my favorite format, but we can make it fit our thing.
Yes.
It is possible for a tier list video to be fun for us. It's just not inherently the best thing.
No.
But we know it does numbers. And so, like, we got to please the audience. We get it.
And to say, I'm saying that because for all the previous tier lists, that's pretty much true. I'm excited. Because Stormlight 5's coming out, and even looking through and prepping this video, getting all the characters out, is reminding me of how much I love this series and also hate some characters in this series.
Yes. Because
we should also mention, like, you're several minutes into the video. We still haven't started the tier list thing. I'm sorry. It's too to ramble. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Rich, this is this per, what's the word I was looking for? Not per quota, on par. That yes. golf term. Is this on par for Tudor Ramble?
It's on par. It's as expected. It's on brand.
Ah, that's the word.
It's on brand.
On brand. Zoom in. Yeah. On the brand logo.
There you go. That is the best decision we ever made with the channel, is naming it Tudor Ramble.
Yes. Yeah.
That word apt. Ramble is perfect for us.
Perfection.
Yeah.
And so with this tier list, I set this up a little differently than our prior ones to make me love it more. And I haven't told you how I set this up. Mm-hmm. You're going to like this better.
Okay.
So in all the prior tier lists, you saw us have S tier, A tier. What does that all mean?
Who cares?
What does SA? We're going to use the Rambler rating system. And as you can see up here, I have 5-star characters, 4.5, 4, 3. So I don't have the 0.25 because that's a lot to add in between, but we will rank characters with 5-star, 4.5, 4, 3.5, all the way down to 1-star, except the 1-star category is named something else. Every Tudor Ramble tier list video.
Are you going to hurt me?
What do you think it is? What's your guess?
Oh, my gut reaction is Wheel of Time. And that was my gut. That are you going to hurt me?
No. I came. Look.
We together on this one?
I came and I said, I want us to be a united front today.
Okay.
I'm in a good mood. I want Rich to be on my side today. The 1-star is the Liren tier.
Good. Liren.
So before we even rank Liren, Liren sucks.
He is my least favorite character in Stormlight. I hate him more than Moash.
100% agree.
Way worse.
If you think we will specify why. And full warning, spoilers for Stormlight book 1 all the way to book 4. Book 5 has not come out yet, so we will only stick those. We will not do wider Cosmere spoilers.
Yes. I will keep to that promise.
We will stick on books 1 to 4, and if it gets into Warbreaker territory, we'll warn anybody and then kind of go aside. Yeah. But we will stick to the books 1 through 4.
1 through 4 and Warbreaker.
Not only like one or two characters are Warbreaker related.
True.
So we'll do a little preface. But
fair enough.
Rich, do you just want to get into this?
Let's get into it. Let's get the first one.
The very first character to rank is Navani.
Yay! One of my early favorites. Oh God.
What do you love about Navani?
Okay.
Can I preface one more thing? Sorry, I had to spiel all this out so people know we're on the same page. Yeah. Is when we're ranking these characters, we're not going, oh, I think they're a good person or a bad person. We're going, much of a realized good character they are, because a villain could be 5-stars.
Sure.
So just when you're going into Navani, it's not like, oh, I like her, so she's 5-stars. It's more, what about her makes her like a full, real character for you?
Completely understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Got that. That is a good clarification.
For when we're ranking all this stuff. So what do you think about Navani, Rich?
So early on, book 1, she was one of my favorite characters for the Way of Kings. Irrationally so. I don't think most people were not with me on that. I know that. Like, everyone's like, yeah, she's a fine side character. In book 1, I was like, she's got to have her own POV. Got it. Got to have her as a POV. She just had the sass, the power. She seemed so in control. And it was so much fun to see her and Dalinar play off each other and how much that her inquisitive mind, but also full of real passion for the people around her, made her very, and then also the mystery of how she's been coping with the loss of her husband and her children. interesting character to me, and I was in love with her from book one, and so happy she got a POV in book four. It carried that book.
I think he should have went further and made her the main point of view with the flashbacks. That's just me. That's just me.
Completely agree. Yeah. Book four would have been helped by more Navani.
Yes.
That's the answer. Like,
factual.
That's all you... Forget every other character. You only need Navani POV.
Especially because we'll get into Venli, but Venli didn't do it for me. Well,
yeah.
Stick on Navani, though.
But Navani...
Why from the get-go did she get you? Is it just she had that dialogue?
She had a good voice. So she had a unique personality of something I've seen before mixed with... Honestly, I guess it really comes down to charm. And her flirting with Dalinar a little bit, but in a subtle, coy way, mostly to... wants what's best for him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily is just trying to jump his bones. That's not really it. She's concerned about him, and she's toying with him and trying to push him along to a better path.
Yeah.
And wants what's best for him and wants what's best for her children. And all these things put together made her very likable. And then later on, we see her anxiety dealing with Gavilar and all that crap she had to deal with. Mm. And her developing as a leader of scientists and being a maybe not the technical scientific mind, but has the creative scientific mind and is willing to dedicate herself to the process. I've read other characters that, you know, super creative, you know, like, oh yeah, they're super smart. They got an idea. Navani, like from book four, she has ideas, but she actually tries them and she actually goes through the scientific process to learn things.
She's curious,
yeah. But she has the scientific rigor to slowly, methodically test her hypothesis and move forward with Lee. She actually treats it like a scientist rather than just the genius character that's like, oh, I got an idea. They try it once and it works miraculously.
Yeah.
All that to say, I really like her. I want to give her I know this is high, but I want to give her a 4.5.
I don't think I'll disagree, and I think part of that introduction with Navani that I loved as well, which just mm-hmm. carries through, is she, when it's first introduced, she's no longer in power. She has really no say in things.
Yeah.
She was married to the old king that is now dead.
She's the mother of the new king. Yeah.
She doesn't have the political prowess, so she doesn't have to be a good person. She's just, everything she does, she wants. She is a curious person, and there's never a moment where, and especially with Sanderson's characters, it's not like, oh, this is a morally gray person. Mm-hmm. It's just she's good-hearted, elevates Dalinar around her, also as a character of her own as the series progresses. She's charming.
She is charming.
I will go 4.5 with you because there's going to be a lot of characters that are going to go below 3 because what we mean by 4.5 is spectacular. I think she's a spectacular character.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
I know people may disagree, but that's just a personal feeling. I want to give her that.
And I hope with book five, we get even more Navani point of view because she, especially with now she's bonded, that'll lead to some more intrigue. So Navani 4.5 and the next character, I put two characters in this one. Mm. Do you even remember who these characters are? Ryson and Vistim.
No.
They are the characters in the interludes, the traitors. Trade and this.
Is one of them a world hopper?
I don't know. We're not talking Cosmere. We have to stick to Stormlight. But
okay.
But Ryson and Vistim, they're traders, and not T-R-A-I-T, as in they trade goods. And yes. Remember Vistim's training Ryson, and you have them in a couple interludes. And when I said I picked minor characters too, there's 56 characters we're ranking. I'm ranking. This, even characters that aren't that significant, we're ranking.
Here's the thing. I know they are complete side characters, like a one-off tertiary character just to see their perspective. I like the fish guy more than them.
The fish guy. Remind me of the fish guy.
It was another interlude in Way of Kings.
Oh, the guy that was walking in the Pure Lake?
The guy was walking in the Pure Lake, and he's with that other lady, and... She's been trying to get him to marry her for like years. And so they do this whole banter back and forth about fish. And so she gives him free food in terms of like eventually she'll give enough free food that he'll be like, I owe her so much. I'm going to marry her.
Yeah.
And he's like, not on my watch, lady. Here's fish back. Let's keep this even scales. I like Fish Guy more.
So we're thinking 2-star? Not bad characters, you know, flawed, not development.
Nothing.
Just they're kind of there, not super interested.
Maybe 2.5, because there's just not enough screen time with them to justify anything.
Okay, we'll go 2.5 because that's just more disappointed. Like, I wish there was more with a couple interludes.
A funny voice, something that would get me interested at all.
Okay, we'll go 2.5 star with Ryzen and Vistam because, Rich, to go off of the tier list for a second, I had to quiz you for a second.
Okay.
I have a quiz. Do you know who Ahu is?
Ahu?
A-H-U, Ahu.
Who?
It was a beggar at the court of King Gavilar and in Cullinar. He was a beggar character that was mentioned. Do you know
now,
who...
Now, is this a beggar character that's secretly a herald or
something? No, they were mentioned for like a paragraph. I was just seeing.
But they are just a beggar.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't... Your expectations of me are too high.
I gave you the hardest question. Now I'm going to give you the biggest character that I didn't put on the list that you should know who this is. You should remember.
Okay.
But they don't have any point of view of themselves. And you'll see what I mean. Do you remember who Nohadon is? Nohadon. Nohadon. Rich, don't shake your head. Don't do it. Rich, come on, buddy. I believe in you.
Is this one of Shallan's brothers?
No. No.
Is it a herald guy?
No.
Uh-oh.
It was the writer of The Way of Kings. The king. Dalinar would talk of Nohadon, which, you know, we never see Nohadon himself, but he is the
I don't feel bad. Author. I should not. I'm barely expected to remember the names of the main characters. I should not be expected to remember the names of authors inside books.
Which could you say to the people real quick if we get any of the pronunciations wrong?
Suck it up. Oh, well. We are what we are. Sorry, not sorry.
It's rough. We sometimes get things wrong. We will continue.
I know we're causing your ears pain for, you know, pronouncing your favorite characters wrong. But tough titties. That's a saying.
It is. I like it.
Yeah.
Not your titties, just the tough titties themselves. Yeah. Okay. So, when I think we will pronounce these better, though, because it's Yasna, okay. Shallan, Adeline.
Yeah, Adeline, we've always got.
We are the biggest fans who have the worst pronunciation. So, we'll continue on because this next character is Elokar.
Ooh. Okay. This is going to be more discussion because Elokar, mm-hmm. right?
Let's go with it.
Go
with it.
Because there's Alucard, and then there's...
E-L-H-O-K-A-R, the king.
The king.
Elokar.
Not the previous dead king.
Elokar. Well, the Gavilar, you mean?
Gavilar.
No, Elokar we're talking about.
Elokar. For many books, he is okay at best. And then book 3 happens. And so... He has one amazing moment, and then it's all the what ifs. Like, do I give all his death scene is one of the most impactful scenes in Wave, in the Stormlight Archive. How much credit do I give the character?
Can I present my case for Elokar as a 5-star character, as a floored me character?
Okay.
So Elokar, I would even argue, even before book 3, I was already falling in love with his journey. Where book 2, you see Elokar go to Kaladin, this bridge burner turned into someone people respect. And there's that little scene he has with Kaladin of just the king reaching out to this previous bridge burner being like, how do people respect you? I want something to make something of myself. And you just see that what you see in Elokar from book 1, 2 to 3, book 1 starting as
I do think I was wrong.
Yeah.
He dies in book 2.
He dies in book 3.
Does it's in book 3?
100%. Yeah. Book 3. Book 3. It's in Oathbringer, in the middle of Oathbringer. Where they are in Cullinar. I promise you. I promise. Yeah. 100,000%.
I don't think that's true.
I could double check it. Want me to double check?
But I'm pretty darn sure it's book.
What book 2. Does Elokar die? I will double check, but I'm very positive with this. He dies. quick. We're going to do a quick jump to me finding this. Nick, quick cut for us. And we're back. Yes, Alucard did die in Oathbringer, book three.
It was book three.
So it's in the middle during the battle in Kolinar. And so just,
I'm starting to remember the actual, so book two.
Words of Radiance.
And Words of Radiance has Kaladin against Zeth. That's kind of the big thing. But it's not.
They haven't gotten three. To Urithiru yet. And at the end of Words of Radiance, they do. So book, with Elokar's character, book one, two, three. Three, he dies, middle of the book. And it's that what could have been. Why I think Elokar's a five-star character floored me. I love his. I always love a redemption arc and a failed redemption arc. Favorite character type ever. I think you could do so much with it. You could pull into loving to hating somebody, hating to loving, seeing what could have been. Elokar does all that when he dies. But book one, he seems this kind of over paranoid, pretentious, just a little bit of a, like, he's so paranoid, it's tough to love him. You always see those prince and king characters that are prince and kingly, and they can just waste resources on something, or they don't understand, but he is a king who then, by book two, you see, beyond the paranoia, he genuinely wants to be a good person. And he comes to Kaladin, humbles himself enough. He's not there. He is not significant in and of himself, but he has enough humility to go, I want to go to this bridge burner. Just be like, what can I be? What can I do to better myself?
You're confusing Malazan characters, not like bridge carrier, like bridge team.
Yeah.
You said bridge burner.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, shoot. We just read Gardens of the Moon. Whoops. Oh, no. Oh,
bridge burner is a cool name.
I'm saying bridge burner.
Yeah.
Bridge four.
Bridge four.
He goes down to a bridge carrier like Kaladin.
Bridge team.
Yeah. Good catch. Holy crap. So he goes to Kaladin with the bridge four and humbles himself enough in book two. And you see this character progression with book three. Now you see this character who wants to grow and wants to become more than who he is, more significant, and goes from paranoia to humility and sadness to hope to despair. Oh my God. I love his character journey. When you look
through books, on pure emotional reaction, he had some of the most important, like most emotional scenes. Even I'll give him credit for the end of book one. One of the biggest laughs I've gotten was Dalinar kicking him in the chest, like, by the way, I'm banging your mom. Yeah. And then moving on.
Oh my God.
And so hilarious. And just him falling from grace and getting his, knocked down a peg too. There was great to see. And then of course, him humbling himself, the king humbling himself to a former slave, then the hope of him saying the words of life before death, and then just stabbed and killed before it could have been great.
Rich.
It's definitely the most impactful death in Stormlight.
Give me five
bar
star.
Bar none.
Give five star. That's a five star character.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yes.
It's hard not to with the most impactful death scene in the entire series.
Yes, by far. By far.
By a long shot.
There are some seconds and thirds, which we'll talk about when we get to those characters, but this one hit the most.
Yeah.
And you didn't expect it to. When you're reading book one, you're like, oh, obviously Kaladin and Bridge Four people that are going to die. And
specifically, it's not a death where like, oh, I feel bad because another character feels bad. I feel bad for the character.
Yes.
That character, that, and I'm sad for them.
Like Tef dying, you feel bad for Kaladin.
Mostly, yeah.
Most of it goes on, what's that going to do to Kaladin?
Exactly. Where Elokar is, you look at, oh my God, the hope and the possibilities.
Yes.
He was almost.
Elokar, we're dragging Elokar up to five star. There we go. Okay. Now we've got the next character is Gavilar. King Gavilar, dead King Gavilar.
We're going to find out more book five.
Absolutely.
That seems to be, I think Gavilar's the flashbacks.
No, that's should be Zeth, I think. We haven't read it. We don't know. Conjecture.
We have not read the prologue because we wanted to just go not into book five fresh. Yes, but
exactly. Oh, you're saying for the prologue, whose point of view it is?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I don't know.
Could be.
I think we're going to get a lot more of him in book five, but as of now, pretty good. Mysterious, but that's what he's got going for him. I don't know if he's much of a character. It's more of a mystery.
You see him through the eyes of others, And obviously, yeah. we aren't starting the series him being alive, so we see a lot of Navani's reactions to her past with Gavilar and now with Dalinar, and seeing how Gavilar wasn't a great person. Also, he's got this stuff going on with the Cosmere and Ghost Bloods and what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So he has mystery is the perfect word to describe Gavilar. And I think that's enough to put him 3.5 stars. I don't know if we go 4 because there's
no, I wouldn't say itself, 4,
but 3.5 good character with, he creates the background and the backdrop for what started the series. And he's in a lot of the moving parts. He also is very much a character of his own where you could see that he had this yearning for power, but also interesting relationship with his brother where
his brother on to the right path. Like, I think he introduced him to the Way of Kings and like,
what are the words?
Words a man can say. Like, it seems like he had some interesting good in him.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though he was a terrible husband.
Awful.
Awful to Navani, and I love Navani, so.
Let's go 3.5.
Okay.
With Gavilar. That makes sense to me. Good character.
Mm-hmm.
And next character we have is Taravangian.
Ooh. 4.5. Like, just such a fascinating character, and also a villain that you have, I think, a lot of sympathy for. A strange amount of his whole situation is, I feel a little bit of pain every time he switches to dumb Taravangian. And then even more sorrow when he switches back to cold, calculating, smart Taravangian. Just that whole, his whole idea of like, he can be the most caring person or the smartest person and never both at the same time. And every time he has a good idea, like, it's when he's at his least empathetic.
Yeah.
And when he's at his most empathetic, he just can't think properly to actually implement his ideas. It just, his whole dynamic is fascinating.
It's awesome. I agree with 4.5. And is there, how excited are you to see him now that he's Odium?
Oh, way more.
What's that do for you?
Oh, he's way better than previous Odium.
Like, yeah.
Previous Odium was just, hey, big bad in the sky. Like, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Sauron.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
But less mystery, because we actually got to talk to him far more. Where Sauron, you don't get to hear Sauron talk.
Right.
Really?
Odium turned from interesting to, what is Taravangian going to do now that he's Odium? Mm-hmm. And that the juxtaposition between him and his empathy versus intelligence days is right from the get-go. We get that book one, and we don't see Taravangian a ton. He's given just enough in splices to be here's the thing with a sympathetic villain and just an antagonist in general, where one, his motivation is he thinks that everything's over, and so he's just trying to protect Carbranth. So his motivation is, I think it's all over, I am just trying to have some humanity survive. I can understand that, where it comes from. I'm not
against what is to come, like,
to God, like, whoa, how are we going to defeat Odium? So I get the point of view that he has. And so he's also the antagonist here because he's kind of given up. He's given in to the bad, but he's also sympathetic enough.
That's going to be a theme for most of these antagonists. I could think of several others that they're the villain because they gave up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not always the biggest fan of sympathetic villains, but what is it about him that does it right for you? Because you could look at others where you try to justify, like, oh, the bad guy has a point type of thing that you see all the time, or this little element to this bad guy. What about Taravangian keeps him so interesting?
Well, Taravangian isn't deluding himself of, oh, it's for the greater good. It's just like, hey, I know this is some messed up stuff, but I'm just trying to save this. I'm trying to save this slice of Roshar, and that's all I think is possible. I'm doing what I think is best. I know it's messed up, and it's not good. Like, he just has this.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
But he's also willing to do these terrible things. And then you add in that magical system of when he is at his smartest, on his smart days, he's just cold and calculated, has no empathy.
Right.
And so you take out the empathy, and he looks at it and goes like, yeah, I'll sacrifice most of Roshar for my slice of it. I think that's all that we get. It's either one slice of the pie or none of the pie. That's the options. So
that's a good way to put it. I'm going to make you a little angry.
Mm-hmm.
I think 4.5 stars above Navani. Rich, he's that interesting of a villain where I am compelled by him. I'm looking forward to Todium. I am invested. He's got jazz to him.
You're objectively right, but I don't want it.
Well, Rich, I have the mouse, so he's going with Navani. I'm using the power here.
Good. I respect it.
Good. The next character we have is Moash / Vire, which is his new name, but Moash as a character. We got a lot to say here, I think. I think we got a lot. What do you have, Rich?
I don't think he's the best villain overall. Like, not just, oh, he is awful, like, as person.
Of course.
Of course. Fair. His motivation has just kind of been weird. Like, when he first went against Kaladin and killed Elokar, made sense. Completely understand his villain going up. But then just him going, oh, I got to give up on emotion. And, like, I don't know. He's just way less compelling. I'm not that interested in him. I don't care where his character goes. If he dies, okay. If he doesn't, okay. But I'm not interested at all in his journey. I'm only interested in, like, how is Kaladin going to deal with him and the reflection of that.
Yeah, he's very much, to me, a character like Gollum and Frodo, where you have your character that emphasizes to your hero what will happen if you fail. So mm-hmm. if Frodo fails, he turns into Gollum, essentially, over time, if he gives into temptation. If Kaladin fails, turns into what Moash is doing, gives up the depressive state of gives in and all the worst things that come with what Moash is. So for Kaladin, he's there as that conflicting, oh, this is what you could be. Everything else about Moash, so when people say they hate Moash and they're like, oh, Moash is the worst character, I hate him, I don't even have that passion of a hate toward Moash. It's strange to say.
He also just has almost cartoonishly weird motivations. Like, I genuinely don't really understand his motivation behind wanting Kaladin dead. Not really.
Like, well, he kind of wants Cal to give up with him. Yeah. He also wants Cal to give in.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
Why? Is it to justify, like, hey, if Kaladin gives in, that means I was right, well, and it's to justify my actions.
I think it's to be like, hey, Kaladin's going through pain. I also, like, to stop the pain, you just give in a way. To let the pain stop hurting. If you want to stop hurting, stop caring. So I think that's his motivation of, I'm trying to help Kaladin in that way, I think.
Yeah, but then he goes, no one can kill Kaladin Stormblessed but himself, so I'm going to make him commit suicide. That's my plan to take care of Kaladin, get him to kill himself. And he still seems to respect Kal as a friend, like he still cares. I don't know why he cares so much. One, I didn't justify, like, his whole friendship and close friendship with Kaladin.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
So one, their close friendship.
Yep, yep.
Like, I understand a friendship of a kind, sure. But he was always a certain distance away, and he didn't revere Kaladin. And so now that he's dedicating his whole purpose to making Kaladin kill himself, and this whole, like, oh, Kaladin must get... Why does he care?
Why would he agree so much with Stormlight characters? Like, I didn't realize how much online we are in all of this, because that is, like, I pointed my finger at you. I was like, oh, Rich, I got a point. And then you just took the words.
I took it from you. Good.
Thank you. Just like,
they're my idea.
You are taking Kaladin's happiness and just letting me suffer.
Yes. Good.
Good. So Moash's friendship to begin with in book one, because we have a whole book, Way of Kings, to get into that friendship with Moash and with Kaladin.
By the way, little aside.
Yeah, what?
If you're interested in having these kind of talks about Stormlight characters, you can join our Patreon, where we have a monthly book club. There we go. Self-promotion.
Nice, man.
Ba-bang. Didn't link below. It's a lot of fun.
We have a book every single month we talk about with people. Please join Patreon.
And at the time of recording, we're doing Malazan. It's great. Sorry.
Gardens of the Moon, book one.
Yes.
So for what we're talking about, Moash. So yes. With Moash and his friendship in book one, I felt a lot more connected with Rock and Kaladin, with even Teft and Kaladin, with Sigzil introduced at that point. Even Sigzil and Kaladin. Moash, I didn't see them as that brotherhood, that friendship in Bridge 4. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that much of a pull when they went their separate ways. It almost, I think the way Sanderson was writing it, and Sanderson's a genius character creator, and he's a master at this stuff. So when I feel like the pull he wanted with Kaladin and Moash was as if, like, if Kaladin and Adolin today split up, it would be, that would be heartbreaking and devastating. I know that they don't have that kind of relationship, but I would have liked for a almost broship like Adolin and Kaladin had. You can't develop it because that developed over several books. It can't be that developed. But with a book as big of Way of Kings, I would have wanted a little more.
Well, we had, what, 3 books for that? And 2 big books, and it could have been developed more.
Yeah, so I don't know about you. Do we go 2-star or...
I think so.
1.5 or 2?
The reason why I'll give it 2, not 1.5, is because he does get an emotion out of us when he's with Kaladin. Of like, when you go, when he's, his plan of like, I'm going to get Kaladin to kill himself. You go, he brings out the emotion of hatred.
2-star's
so
fair.
It's not the worst.
2-star's fair.
Because I think Liren is like nonsensical apathy. Like, he's,
we're going to rant on Liren. Why not now?
I want to put Liren below Liren.
Liren sucks.
He sucks so much.
But next character we have before, I think I have Liren in this episode. Yes, I do. Liren will come up. So next character is Odium. So not Podium, not Taravangian, but Odium himself, God Odium. What do you think?
Tempted to put like a 2.5 type of deal. Like, he's there. He exists. I don't know anything else about his character or its character, however you want to put it.
He's more interesting for the world than he is for a character on his own.
He's bad Muju energy.
I'll go 2.5 with you. Above Ryzen and Vistam.
Sure.
He creates more of a threatening presence.
True.
So
I kind of want to put him below the 2 merchant characters.
Todium now with Taravangian increases Odium for me, but we're not considering that into this. Okay. Next character we have is Todium. So Taravangian plus Odium, this new combination.
I don't think it's fair to give him too high of points because he literally came at the very last minute of book 4. So it's not fair to give him like a 4 or 5 or anything. I'm thinking top of 3.5, like above Gavilar. Because again, it's that mystery element. It's the same thing of, hey, I'm curious about the what ifs. Like, there's so many possibilities.
100%. Yeah, let's go. I would have said below Gavilar. I'll go above, either or. What do you think?
Above, because it's the future. Like, there's a bunch of mystery and Gavilar's it's the future. Past. Gavilar's past. Like, there's as much mystery and intrigue there as with Gavilar. He did.
3.5 stars. It has the potential to be 4.5 next book. We'll see what happens with Todium. But that ends the Odium, Todium, Taravangian conversation. So we got all those in our places.
Good.
Next character we have is Syl.
5-star. 5-star. I don't care. Ask me why.
I'm not going. Why?
Because I won. Because Syl deserves it. I love Syl.
I think the scene alone that gives Syl 5 stars is take away 4 books. Just the fact that Syl goes and helps Kaladin almost commit suicide because she thinks she's doing something good. She's like, Kaladin.
I have most emotional weight in Syl. If Syl dies in book 5, I'm going to throw a book at a wall. we're going to have some problems here. Syl cannot die. If she does...
Oh, man.
I'm going to be real upsetty spaghetti.
I will say I still think Syl should be below Elokar. Elokar.
No.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I can get behind Syl being 5 stars. It's just I think Elokar, that's fine. I love my redemption arc. Syl is perfection. It's just,
she's great.
Every scene she's in,
makes it more funny. So she has a funny, she adds hilarious jokes to every scene she's in, or she adds so much emotional weight to every scene she's in. Like, every scene, she kind of steals a good chunk of it. And I love it.
Even in Words of Radiance, where Syl's coming back to help Cal when he's on the tower.
Yeah.
And She's just, oh, what she shout? She shouts out something in that scene that she's coming back to. She's trying to come back because Kaladin's lost his connection with Syl. She's like, I'm coming, Kal! It doesn't say it like that, but it's just so heartwarming. Like, let's go, Syl. So always, yeah, 5-star.
We'll talking with other characters like Dalinar, just kind of funny and sweet. Everything about her is perfection. Love it.
Love Syl.
Every scene she's in, she's perfect.
So we have 2 5-star characters right now. We have Syl and Alucard. Mm-hmm. We'll see who else joins there. We haven't had any Lirin tiers, and I don't think this next person will get Lirin tier.
Oh.
Hesina.
Who is that?
Lirin's wife.
Oh. Cal's mom's pretty good.
Yeah.
She is A-OK.
She is sensible.
She's sensible.
She's sensible. She doesn't not make sense.
She's OK.
She's... has common sense, all the sense words I'm using
all the sense,
for,
yeah.
Basically has common sense, makes sense, isn't nonsense. The opposite of fucking Lirin. Let's give her 3-5 just for dealing with his bullshit.
That's true.
Okay?
As a character, maybe a 3.
She's married to that man.
She's dealing with him.
God bless her.
Gotta give her an extra half point.
Below Gavilar, though, because there's less intrigue and all that, but she has to get that for just being the warrior she is.
Dealing with Lirin's bullshit.
Okay. Lirin's next on the list.
Okay, the rest of the video may just be Lirin. Rich, that may be the title of this video.
Lay into him.
I fucking hate him. I hate him so much. Okay. Honestly, this is a little bit of shade to Sanderson. What the fuck?
Oh.
What the, like, he doesn't make sense. The idea of this, so pacifism makes sense, like, or it can make sense. There's plenty of other stories of showing, like, a super pacifist that's not even willing to raise their hand in self-defense can add some interest to the story,
right.
But the main important question of that is why? Because not defending yourself is absurd. It's an absurd stance to take. You have to justify that. You have to have some reason of, like, it's a deep part of your culture. You'll be ostracized by your family and friends. It's a part of your religion. You'll think you go to hell if you do it. Like, something big has to happen for you to not defend the life of your infant child, Lirin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But no, he's just smug. It to a point where, if I didn't know any better, Lirin likes being right more than he likes his child. That's my assumption from all this, because he's going, oh, it doesn't make sense. Like, violence just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Violence only begets violence. It's like, all right, someone's holding a knife to your child's throat. What are you going to do then, Lirin? Well, I guess I'll just, you know, after he, you know, cuts my son's throat, I'll, you know, dab it up and repair the guy's leg and treat him free of charge. That's apparently my world philosophy. Why?
Rich.
I hate him.
Is the connection here for the Liren lovers?
No one loves Liren. For the Liren apologizers.
The apologists.
Oh, the apologists, yes.
For the person, I would say Liren was deeply affected by Tien's death, by Kaladin's little brother's death, and is so against violence because his sons are getting sent to die. And that's his motivation. Now, Rich, the problem with that...
That stops when your other child is about to die, and then your cool child saves your other child, and you go, that was wrong.
Rich,
you.
Not even that. You know where Liren might be correct? You know what world he might be correct? Hmm. Is when it's not the fucking apocalypse. we shouldn't be killing the guys who are invading and killing all of us. Even Kaladin,
it's better to capitulate.
Now, here's the thing. Kaladin's point of view is even being a Windrunner is protect those unless it's someone that is doing wrong. With the stipulation that, hey, self-defense exists and all this. It's just how do you get to the extreme pacifist point of view of so much no violence to where your entire ideology is self-defeating? And I do put it right where you need a cultural reason. You need some sort of grabbing past of Liren that we need to understand, which we're not getting that gap of why he's so extreme. It's just frustrating.
I don't even think there's a hint of it, because before Tien's death, mm-hmm. he was a pacifist. Before that, like, it's always been a part of him. It seems that he's kind of a hippie and he stole Cal's mom away from some noble because he's, you know, some weirdo hippie that is a pacifist, peace and love, man. And it's just like,
if anyone disagrees, comment why you're wrong. Liren just doesn't make sense.
No, actually, how much that he's supposedly empathetic and all these, like, he's strangely cold and heartless to Kaladin, his son, that's clearly going through stuff and going like, oh, you're not my son. It's like, what are you doing?
And let's clarify, the fact that we are frustrated with Liren isn't...
I don't hate him for the... Oh,
the good
reason. Brandon Sanderson wrote just such a compelling character, and I dislike what he does. It's like, he's nonsensical.
Don't understand his motivation. So when...
To the point that...
A frustrating character rather than you're frustrated because you like the back and forth of like, they make sense and I just want them to overcome this.
He's the most nonsensical character in Stormlight.
I'm not rooting for him to not become a pacifist. I'm like, why are you? And what is your, let's go Liren tier, because there's no lower than Liren.
No. He stays. He stays on the board. He never, move him to the bottom of the board.
We'll put him Liren for now.
No. Scroll him down to below. Put him on the bottom of all the lists.
Rich, just for you, I'm going to create another row.
Thank you.
And put him there and call that Liren. Seriously, you messed up.
Good.
So Liren's in that tier. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't want to put any other character in the Liren tier with Liren. Liren needs to be below them all.
Right. Another layer.
Yeah, exactly.
Dante has several layers to hell, and he is far down.
Yes. Okay.
Our next character, now that we got all of our hate out.
Good.
Hoid.
Oh, good.
Hoid.
Oh, a fun character.
Wit/Hoid. We should say Wit.
Wit, yeah. I'm leaning 4.5.
Yeah, he's spectacularly done. He's nothing. He adds always a fun element. He's a great motivator and gives a message to Kel in Rhythm of War, the dragon story. The dog and the dragon.
Oh, yeah. That's probably one of the best little side stories in Stormlight.
Him being there with Shallan when she's down. He's always that constant source of hope, and he is great for thought-provokingness in the message and themes of Stormlight. He's always... When you see him in Book 1, before he gets into his more mysterious background and you find out there's more to him than just being the jester, he's a great jester. He's always poking fun, and all the jesters always die because the king just commands him to die. But Wit's been sticking around because he's a great jester. A great concept from the start. And then book to book gets more and more compelling because, when he kind of gives that quick aside of, oh yeah, I remember one of the heralds, he gave me, we had drinks back in the day. He's a good guy. It's like, oh, so you're that above this sphere that we are not on the same playing field as you, Wit.
Yeah.
And then you have the extra layer where the very end of Rhythm of War, where his memory just gets a little bit of a wipe from Todium, from Teravangian Odium.
Well, we're finally seeing Wit on the back foot. He's always been above it all. He's always kind of ahead of everyone. He knows more than everyone else.
Yep.
And this is the first time we kind of see him really take an L.
Which is so compelling because he's our guy. He's our comfort. We're in Stormlight going, oh, everything's fine because Wit's fine.
Yeah. If Wit's good, everything's okay.
And then when Wit and Syl start faltering, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And to add on one more thing, too, because with the messages Wit gets across, I still fondly remember the end of Way of Kings where Wit was talking about stories. And he was talking about what makes something, what makes a story or what makes an invention good is novelty or being the
novelty,
first.
Novelty, yeah.
Novelty, thank you. It's novelty and being the first. And sometimes you don't need to be the best, but if you're the first to introduce something, is that enough? And he has these really, it's kind of Brandon Sanderson using a character to make the reader think. Mm-hmm. And he kind of has this cheat code of a character, which is Wit, and he's so awesome.
Yeah. And also just, this is not a spoiler. I'll save it. I won't. We're talking not Cosmere-wide things. Okay, fine. Fair enough. 4.5.
4.5, where would you put him? Between Teravangian Navani or before, after? What do you think?
Above Navani, I guess.
I think above Teravangian. I think he's top of 4.5. He just adds so, so much.
More than Teravangian, definitely.
We're not going 5 mainly because he's not...
He's not a main... Yeah. I don't know.
Stick with 4.5 because he's not having... It's not his story. There's a little... You know, 4.5. It's fair. We understand. We're reading each other's minds.
Yes.
Okay. So Wit slash Hoid is top of 4.5. Next character, the Pursuer.
Ah.
In book 4, only in one of the books, book 4, and was pursuing Kel.
I lean toward a 3. Like, it's fine.
Just fine, yeah.
What is his motivation? He prideful. That's about it.
I was even going to say 2.5. That's a little disappointing as a villain. Mini antagonist, I get it, but there's... kind of has that cool ability of flashing three times, like... Pew, 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 and then...
Cool ability added in with he does have the...
That's fair.
It's mainly, like, he's a threat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's impressive. That's an impressive threat. And then by the end of, like, him running scared, it's like, Kaladin's like, I'm not going to just kill you. I can kill you. I'm ruining your reputation. That's the thing you value most. Like, you're going to come back and you're always, everyone knows you're no longer, undefeatable. You lost to me. And it was cool Kaladin moment. So he led to that. So
you convinced me on 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine. And
you
also,
convinced me.
In the action scenes, it's pretty fun. He's an intimidating action villain.
Definitely. Okay. 3 stars for sure. And, yeah, not anything extraordinary, but nothing bad either. Fun enough. Okay. I agree with you there. Next character we have is Lopin.
Ah.
You remember Lopin, of course.
I do know Lopin.
Yes, Lopin.
On Bridge 4.
Bridge 4. He's the jokester, the one with lots of cousins.
The one that, like, was disabled, and then Stormlight came in. It's like, hey, I got a hand back. Isn't that right?
I don't
remember. Didn't he not have an arm?
I think he still doesn't.
Still doesn't.
Yeah, I would think so. That shows you my recollection. So I think that... Mm. I think he still doesn't have an arm.
Oh.
Yeah. But Lopin, what do you think of Lopin other than that tip point?
Fine. Nothing special, I guess. Like, kind of shows that we don't really know if he has an arm or not.
He's got some fun lines in there, and it's part of Bridge 4. Maybe another 3-star. Honestly, and that mid-tier doesn't do anything bad, but he had some comedy at times.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel super connected to him.
He's not the most forgettable Bridge 4 member. There are others that I don't know their names at all.
Let's go Lopin.
Below the Pursuer?
Yeah, below Pursuer. Lopin's right about there. Now, this next character, I want to be correct if I'm wrong, but on the Stormlight Wiki, this character wasn't even mentioned. I remembered this character in the Stormlight Wiki. On the list of characters, I didn't see this character.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because they're significant enough to remember. The Mink.
The Mink's never mentioned?
I swear I was on the Stormlight Wiki, and someone could go on there now, maybe add it, because it is a wiki, but I was looking for the Mink. Mm-hmm. It's in alphabetical order. maybe it's under a different name in the Stormlight Wiki, but I could not find it. You remember the Mink?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Mink's in Rhythm of War, and is the leader or that rebel group in, not Alethkar, but Herdaz, up northwest or so of Alethkar. But is supposedly, my thoughts when starting to read Rhythm of War, Mink's going to be important this book, because it was introduced right away, big factor, but kind of didn't lead anywhere in that book. Did you have any impression of Mink? Maybe personality-wise, you connected with Mink more.
I thought Mink was going to be more important.
Right. I mean, just storytelling is usually you get introduced to a big character in the beginning, then they're important.
Yeah, so are we thinking maybe a 2.5 or 2?
2.5 is disappointing.
Okay.
Because nothing wrong or flawed, because we have Moash and Two-Star, and I think Moash is more flawed because
true.
We're trying to go for something like, okay, Moash should invoke more, and there's...
Maybe want to push Moash down to 1.5.
To bad, you think?
I think a bad character.
Yeah.
Because we have some strong thoughts on Moash.
Yeah, we'll go Moash down to 1.5, and then let's stick Mink, 2.5, disappointing.
Sure.
Character. And maybe bottom there. Even worse than Rysim and Vistam.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, Mink could really improve next book, because clearly Sanderson is setting up Mink for book 5. I mean, yeah. If not, maybe it was just...
Why would they do it in book four?
Maybe it was a mistake, and he's like, oh, I'll write off Mink now, but I don't see that happening. We didn't get a lot from Dalinar in book 4, so maybe because we saw so little of Dalinar in the entire book 4 is the reason we saw so little of the Mink. So we'll see. We'll see. This could change after book 5. All of these could, except Liren. No, Liren has
no
redemption arc for Liren.
No,
if
nonsense.
I will put this down. If Liren somehow in book 5,
not even redeemed,
becomes a good character,
becomes an understandable character. Yeah,
Rich, you and I, we need to do something publicly.
We have to buy the most expensive thing on Sanderson's website.
We will buy every single one of Sanderson's leather-bound editions.
No, don't do that to me. I can't afford it. That. That would ruin me.
Yeah, the thing is...
You're ruined.
The thing about...
The thing about this bet is you were just so confident.
The thing about the bet is we're so confident. Also, I think what you just said there shows how... great of a writer Sanderson is, where there's a little chance that Sanderson is that good of a writer where he could
have like one flashback. That's the thing. All it takes one amazing flashback scene, or thing is, that's a hard lift. One flashback is gonna solve that.
How about this? We will each, you and I, will buy one leather bound from his site that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Fair enough.
That's what we'll do if Liren comes back. We'll have to remember that bet. Okay. Okay. Our next character is Sigzil.
Oh, yep.
Before
we addition to that, actually.
Yeah.
If he does, I will make it my mission to get that leatherbound edition of whichever book. We get the leatherbound, and we have to get it signed by Sanderson saying, like, Liren is the GOAT.
Yes.
That's the goal. Waste our Brandon Sanderson signature. Saying Liren's the GOAT.
And don't even have Sanderson sign.
No. Yeah, no signature from him.
No Brandon Sanderson signature. Just him writing, Liren is the GOAT.
That's it.
I agree.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It's a waste. A waste of our opportunity and time.
The next character we have is Sigzil.
I like him. I can't give more Cosmere spoilers. But fine enough character in Bridge 4.
Okay, I didn't know there was larger Cosmere stuff with him. Interesting. Okay, Sigzil. Okay, three star?
Sure.
Doesn't do anything.
Above Lopen, I think.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Another one of those kind of Bridge 4 that lumps together with Lopen, Sigzil. They're fine.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. They kind of create more, there's this team of people that look up to Cal.
Yeah, basically. They're all just Cal sycophants.
They're simps.
They're a bunch of Cal simps.
Well, we are too, so...
True. Everyone's kind of a Cal simp.
I mean, we're anybody that's in 5 and 4-5, we're simps. So Syl, Elokar, Hoi, Teravangi, and Navani. All of those.
Noticed we haven't come across a single main character.
Actually, we're going to. But also, we haven't come across a 4-star yet. Where were you going to get our first 4-star character? We've been either going 4-5, 5, or 3-5. Is this next character worthy? No. Eli Sadeus. I don't know if I'm saying.
Is that the wife?
Name. That's the wife of Sadeus, yes.
Oh. 2.5, I'm thinking. Kind of disappointing.
You think so?
I kind of wanted more out of her, of revenge for her husband, and just, she kind of goes out with whimper.
She's trying for revenge. She's trying to kind put some of. Stuff with, she's involved with the Ghostbloods a bit. She's.
I just didn't, I wasn't really believing her character.
Oh no, I'm just trying to argue for a 3, but I can't.
I just find disappointing.
Yeah, I get, when I read her, I wasn't super, I mean, she's just, yeah, I guess so.
I wasn't, she's not bad, but it's also just, okay, and she's gone. Right, let's move on to other things. I'd rather not be here now.
Let's go top of 2.5, because I think at least she creates an element of, she has a clear motivation, going for revenge, doesn't really fulfill it, but the rest of these characters from 2.5, it's more like could care less about them. She has something going for her.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I agree with you. There's nothing super compelling about her, but her husband, who is next on the list, Toro Sadeus.
I think we may have our first 4.
I was going to say that because I'm trying to justify a 4 or 5, but what is it about Sadeus that you really enjoy but doesn't get him to the top?
Well, the best part about him is how much he actually did support, how much he supported Gavilar, the previous king, and insofar, Elikar.
Yeah. Like,
actually is loyal to the king. He just hates Dalinar. And so he's such an open villain that he was the most fun twist of the first book of, like, you go, oh yeah, he, Sadeus is the villain. Like, he openly, like, of yeah, course. He's the bad guy. And then twist going, like, no, actually, he's not. He's not the worst guy. He's not
Adeline's
great.
Adeline's wrong.
He's pretty good. Or he's good in this. Yeah. He's okay. And then double reversal. Actually, he is the bad guy. It's like, ah, no. And so,
without spoiling, like a Knives Out moment.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
The thing that we made you stop suspecting actually is the thing.
That's always great. And that's a great plot moment. And Sadeus himself as a character. As a villain, I was disappointed when he died. I loved Adeline's moment killing Sadeus. That was a great moment. It made so much sense. But with him gone, it kind of left a gap in Urithiru where, obviously, for plot purposes, Dalinar, you needed to knight everybody. That would have been so hard with Sadeus. So it makes total sense plot-wise. But the other High Princes aren't as compelling to me. So he was really compelling High Prince that had clear motivation. Loved him in book 1. And book 2, it was always a pain in Dalinar's side that needed to die in order for the plot to progress. But I miss his presence in the politicking, which means he was a great character.
Before Urithiru, his position makes sense. Absolutely. He has a difference of opinion with Dalinar on how to actually proceed, but he is loyal to the king. He didn't seem seditious. Like, he's power hungry, but he is loyal to the king. He just disagrees with Dalinar. His conversation with Adeline,
yeah,
made him just almost cartoonishly villain of, like, I'm gonna undermine Dalinar. He's like, Dalinar was proved you wrong. Like, everything that you've said today has failed. Like, Dalinar was right on everything, and you're still being petty about, like, it just made him so petty and small. That, like, at that point, I didn't care.
What do you think? Died. Could there have been, you know how Kaladin and Adeline kind of were opposing each other and then came together?
Mm-hmm.
Could you have seen Dalinar and Sadeus having a similar arc where they became buds in this journey and Sadeus overcame his ego?
Maybe not buds, but it could have been subtract the scene where he basically makes himself a cartoon villain of, yes, I know I've been proven wrong, and I know, like, I know that all these other enemies are coming and we need to, you know, I get it. Yeah. Dalinar's right, but I'm still going to undermine him and I'm still going to backstab him every turn. And there's a big hallway to the point of, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I think that scene kind of ruined his character, especially going forward, but then he dies. So it doesn't matter. You take that scene out and he could have been very compelling as a foil for Dalinar going forward.
Mm.
I think it could have been, but I think Sanderson wanted to focus on hey, look, we got to get one of these chips done.
We got to get out of the Shattered Plains. Like, we're done with this politicking on this level with the High
Not
princes.
Even that. We're done with the, we're done with Alethkar being
the main focus point.
Exactly.
We need to now save Roshar.
Yeah, no, if we're going to start focusing on uniting the other countries, the home country needs to already be kind of united and done. Like, that step needs to be done, and now we can focus on other stuff.
Yes.
If you were juggling both, probably just would have been too much. So I get why.
I agree. Forsar BC is a great villain, a great antagonist and foil for Dalinar, especially book one. I think four is a perfect spot for him.
And then, of course, what his death does to Adolin, I think, was really compelling. His death was also a very compelling thing for another character. Worked well.
I agree with you. Let's go Forsar. You said that at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Sticking with that. His next character we have is Roboniel.
A very good one, I think. She was fun. She had great presence on screen. On page, not screen. Hopefully on screen.
Yes, hopefully one day. On screen, yeah.
But, no, she had great presence.
Yeah, what do you think? Her dynamic, she spoke probably mostly with Navani.
Yeah.
So her dynamic with Navani was very cool. And
well, she's a very compelling villain. Similar stuff of, I understand her position really well. She wanted to end the cycle, is in a cold, cold, calculating way. Yeah. She just wants the war to end. Same thing with the Divine. So,
and two characters on
wants to end her daughter's suffering.
Oof.
That's heart wrenching. But her character is really interesting, and then also just had this chemistry with Navani, and it's fun seeing the villain and hero like have chemistry in that way. You can see how in different contexts they could actually be really good friends. And that's cool to see.
I know I was just saying we didn't have enough four stars. I think we got a second four star in a row.
I think so.
I think below Sidaeus, I will say. Mm-hmm. I think Sidaeus, especially book one.
Is a better villain, really cool. Especially. Yeah.
Let's go four star, though. She really does shine with Navani. And again, sympathetic for her as well. When she died, it touched me. I was like, wow. Yeah, man.
But also, she was an intimidating villain. Her, just how much she was manipulating Navani was also...
But also the reason that Navani was alive, because otherwise Navani was... Without Roboniel, correct me if I'm wrong, might be misremembering, but Roboniel was one that wanted more information out of Navani, so she was the one that was kind of keeping the others from getting too aggressive.
Yeah, she's the reason that they didn't just kill all of the Windrunners.
Maybe Roboniel and Navani, the reason they got along together is they were both curious.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had, for different reasons as well.
Yeah, where Navani had kind of a natural curiosity to her that she just wants answers to things.
Yeah.
Roboniel is curious too, but she had ultimately a purpose behind it of, I want to end my daughter's suffering. Yeah. I want this whole war to end. We keep getting revived over and over just to continue the cycle. Yeah, I want it to stop.
She's a great character.
So.
Absolutely. Okay. Next character we have is multiple. I shoved these into one.
Okay.
Unmade.
Explain?
The Unmade as in the Saja Anat.
That's another word.
the Unmade as in, so when, remember they go to Kolinar and there's that Unmade Spren combo, not Spren thingy that is...
Oh, got it.
The world-building beings that are... I think they're not Spren, they're false Spren, or they are... What's the exact term for them? They are just... They're weirdly made with the magic system. We don't know everything about them quite yet. Oh. It's the Unmade, the different... The Saja Anat, I can look up some of them right now. Let's go. The Unmade... Some of the Unmade are, it's the group of 9 ancient and twisted Spren. That's it, the twisted Spren on Roshar, comprised of splinters of Odium. Splinters of Odium, that's it. Okay, so we have some are Saja Anat, Rasafir, Saja Anat. I feel like I said Saja Anat so many times.
I thought that's 2 times.
Ashrakmarn, all these different.
Okay. I don't remember any of these.
So because you don't remember them, they were also known as, like, the Midnight Mother, the Spawning Mother.
The only thing I remember about them was they were in Irithiru when they first discovered it and going after the Harmony, basically. Right?
Well, one was, I think, was the beginning of Oathbringer, where they were hunting one down, and yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the, yeah.
So
that's the most I remember about them.
Yeah, what do you think, then? 2-5?
Give it a 2. They're very forgettable.
they're more world than they are characters.
Yes, true.
So, again, I did put them in the list. It's my fault. I just wanted to talk about
it. I don't even think they're characters. That's the problem.
Okay, we'll go, because they're not really characters, 2.
Good.
Yeah, okay, I agree with you there. Because next one we have is Maya. Maya.
Okay. She is technically a character.
She's a character.
That has one line.
Yeah.
In the whole story. Yet, I think she's quite endearing. Like, there's something to her. You know what I mean? Everyone treats, like, you feel super bad for, like, for a character.
Yeah.
You have a lot of sympathy for her. Like, every time that she and Adeline are together and, like, you can see she's almost there, but not really connected to her, then how people treat her as a dead spren. You feel the sympathy for her. And then, of course, her defending Adeline is just like, yes, good. You feel great about it. And her fighting with Adeline in training and all this. Top of 3-5?
So
she gets a lot of emotion out of you.
With Maya, the one struggle that I had with her didn't have to do with her, but more the plot around her, where, of course, good guys win. I get it. Like, that's an easy thing to predict. Like, oh, I think in a Sanderson novel, at the end of this book, the good guys will come out on top. It was more so with Maya, it was very easy to predict her exact role in Rhythm of War and know exactly what she was there for, that she was going to speak up. As soon as you knew that Adeline had to go to court and Maya wasn't speaking, it's every single plot element is going like, oh, I wonder what Maya's going to do suddenly at court to make this big scene. So that wasn't as much of an impactful scene for me, but that doesn't mean that Maya as a character was bad. I think that Maya is still, she won for the world, creates a lot of interesting elements with, hey, well, this is what happens to the dead spren. And she is endearing in a bit, but I would argue maybe a 3, because I don't know if she's of course not Syl level.
No.
But maybe Maya by book 5 again will have a lot more development. Because for me, I need a little more.
Here's the thing, the difference between 3 and 3-5 for me is, at least in 3, she pulled on the emotional heartstrings a few times in the book.
Yeah.
That's the difference of people in 3, like, you know, Sigil, Lopin, the Pursuer, like, no emotional connection really at all. Like, they're fine. It's okay. At least with Maya, you're kind of cheering for her. You're rooting for her to win. And
just, I want to watch her continue to grow.
Exactly. Okay. There were not just one, but several moments where you're going like, oh, come on, Maya, you're rooting for it.
I'll give you bottom of 3-5.
Fair enough.
Okay, we'll go there.
Bottom of 3-5.
Below Hasina, because again, she's dealing with Liren.
Yes.
So let's be fair.
That's saint. Saint level.
Next character that we have is Marais.
This is the leader of the Ghostbloods?
Yes, it is.
I remember the name.
What did you think of the leader of the Ghostbloods?
I mean, he's fine.
I don't think fine. I think below average a bit, where Marais is doing stuff that we don't totally understand. I think Marais is more there for Cosmere level stuff. Feels a bit at the Ghostbloods always feels like a side plot.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to super care. In the Stormlight Archive, when you mention Marais to me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Cosmere stuff.
That's Ghostbloods. That's not relevant.
That's not even Roshar. Get the fuck out of here. So Marais is, to me,
disappointing.
Disappointing, yeah. I would say not as disappointing as Marais. I would say, you know, Marais is also in there enough to make me go, I would want to enjoy Marais more.
I'm more disappointed because he is a part of every single book.
Let's go below Mink, because Mink's only in 1.
Yeah.
Marais is in most of them. 3 out of 4, maybe. Is Marais introduced in the first? I forget. But Marais is there. So the next character we have is, do you remember who this is? Relaine.
Yeah.
You do?
He's Bridge 4. He's the Bridge 4 singer.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a good character.
Yes.
Yay. I don't have much to say about him other than,
you know,
yeah.
You know why I like Relaine even more is a character like Relaine, where you see introduced in book 1 as, oh, the singer. in the group is going to have some big, impactful, like, this is super important. And it's kind of the opposite of what I was saying when I was talking about the Mink, where, characters introduced are going to be super important, but Relaine and the whole battle being against Burshendi, it's like, Relaine's going to be an integral part to this whole thing coming together, which Relaine has their part to play, but not... I think I like Relaine more that Relaine's in the background.
Well, it makes him... it gives hope for the idea of a real integration, right? Not just like, he's important for plot purposes.
Exactly.
No, his journey is fitting in and how much he, like how the Bridge Four runners and mainly Kaladin really steps up from like, no, Relaine is a member of Bridge Four. He's not just the side piece. He's not just the singer part. Like, he wears that badge. He wears that uniform. He is Bridge Four. And everyone else trying to include him, but having a hard time identifying with him and interacting as human and singer. Like, their cultures are different.
And for that, that's a 3-5.
I think so.
I think right above Maya? Right next to Maya somewhere. Where do you
above,
think?
Above.
Okay, right above Maya. Yeah, they serve similar purposes, actually.
Book 3, I think, yeah. Mostly. Book 3, I really liked him. Of him journeying to get a sprint. Is it book 3 or book 4 that he's...
I'm forgetting.
Maybe it's book 4. I think it's probably book 4. But
it is,
yeah,
book 4.
It is book 4.
It is book 4.
But his journey of, like, now him fully out of his shell, now being able to talk, and his journey to bond a new sprint, and all this, I really like his character for that purpose.
Totally agree with you. And what is it about Relaine and having that more background? And do you want more from Relaine in book 5? Do you think that Relaine's done enough for you?
I want more, but I don't want a ton more. I want just the same amount we got in the previous book.
Yes.
I want that amount.
Keep it the same.
Keep it the same.
Agreed.
Maybe like one, maximum 2 POV sections. Not even the full chapter. Just like
Little tiny tidbits.
Little tiny
bits. Just make sure Relaine's doing okay. That's all
he's
I need
doing
to know.
Okay. Hey,
move
what's
on.
His mental state? How is he fitting in?
Is he healthy? Is he
doing
how
good?
How's his diet?
Is his bowel tracking okay?
Because I will tell you, this next character, I want to see more from.
Okay.
Rock.
Rock.
Here's the thing. I just want one little POV making sure he's doing all right.
I think... if any Bridge Four member deserves to be like in 5, it's Rock. Out of any of them, except of course, Kaladin.
Of course, is Rock a 5? The argument is 5 or 4-5.
Yes.
I think I will argue 4-5.
You're probably right.
I think I will.
I think it's just funny to put Rock in at 5
above all of them.
Yeah,
it is. Rock
it's
is
funny.
Rock is, no, because Rock has the same name as Dwayne Johnson. And Dwayne Johnson
makes bad films.
Very bad films. Puts Rock back on the 4-5 because shares name with Dwayne Johnson.
Fair. I like the logic.
If you're memeing 5, I'm going to meme 4-5 to get Rock where Rock should actually be. It's because Rock is... do we have to explain why Rock is great? I mean,
he just has great character voice. Every scene he is in, you know it's Rock speaking. He brings humor. He brings heart to it. A good element of mystery of, hey, what's going on? Rocks people's like,
their
connection with magic is weird.
An element of culture you love in books.
Exactly.
Just getting a little bit of the stew and his past in, I forget his, where he's from. The Horn Hills, the hell's
the place.
Name?
The place in.
The culture I can't remember is what I love about Rock.
Well, we haven't, that's the thing, is it's actually different. It's somewhere else.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen it. But it feels more alive with Rock there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a 4-5 character, and I think, where in the 4-5? Above Navani? Of course. Actually, bottom of 4-5. Rock's a great character. A spectacular character.
Navani is the made POV of one of the books.
We're giving Rock high enough, okay? Our next character, we don't have to talk about too much. I think this is a really light one.
Yeah, I think so.
Kaladin Stormblessed, our first main POV character.
About an hour 15 in.
Hell yeah. Okay. Kaladin Stormblessed. Thoughts?
Now, do I want to, like, try to take? Because we both know five. We're starting there.
Where
and
in five?
Where am I going? Am I going to try and drag him down? Is that my goal?
You are Moash again.
Am I being
Moash? Why are you trying to drag our boy down?
I don't know.
Now, what is it about Cal? Why is he such... I mean, he's the reason we read Stormlight. Because his character point of view is the first we get by chapter 10. He decides not to jump off the cliff. It's Way of Kings is Cal's book. We're following his depression arc. He's put in this constant pressure.
He's not always the main character, but he's the hero of Stormlight Archive.
And
everyone looks to him of like, hey, we need a champion. We need a hero. Kaladin Stormlight.
I need a hero! And then Kaladin just zooms in with Syl. And Syl goes... So I just imagine that playing constantly.
Now, that would be great if Syl could play music riding through the sky. Plays his theme song.
Bar, like hard, heavy rock. And okay, but you said he's the hero. But why I also love Cal is my favorite book in all of Stormlight, Oathbringer. He is not the hero. He fails. He can't go and save everybody in Thalen Fields. It's Dalinar's book for a great reason. That book is perfection. That you can go check our review on Oathbringer if you want, but we'll talk about that again plenty of times. But Kaladin is both your hero, but also you know that he's not always invincible because his worst enemy is himself. That's what Moash plays against him. He's such a relatable character. The mental struggles he goes through. Just you love Cal. There's so we could go on and on about Cal. Other than, is there something that you're going to try to drag him down on? Why? Why is he not the best?
Here's the thing. It's something I don't necessarily agree with, but I will bring up a point that I've heard other people talk about with Cal, of that Kaladin's journey sometimes can feel very burdensome of like, it's been four books, and it sometimes feels that has he even moved forward? Like, mainly it's book four of people kind of saying like, okay, there's a lot of Kaladin here. Like, maybe take the step off the brake. Like, how much can we beat down? Like, yes, Kaladin has depression. Like, when is this boy going to take a significant step forward out of his... That book four, I think he makes some good progress. And each book, he has a different type of arc, a different thing to learn, a new lesson. But how much is that... Like, is there too much Kaladin in Stormlight Archive? Does he need to take a back seat for some of it? What are your thoughts?
I think in Oathbringer, he does take a back seat. And I think... I would say Kel is not my favorite Stormlight character.
Okay. Dalinar, of course.
Dalinar is the best character in fiction, which we'll get to and why he is. But Kaladin is a spectacular character, floors me every time because he is his struggle. Here's why I like still seeing him more of him in the future is Way of Kings. He quote unquote finishes one of his arcs. But Sanderson always finds a way to make Kaladin have a new thing to learn. And a lot of that is represented in the oaths, in the Windrunner oaths of I will protect those even ones that I hate. Or going to a next step from book one, it's about him overcoming complete suicide and getting to understand that, oh, there can be a good Light Eyes. Okay, then book two is getting over that absolute hate that he has for Light Eyes and actually going... realizing that even if he has this prejudice, there are still ways to overcome. So book one to two already has a different reason for why Kel's important to follow.
Now, here's the thing. Book three and four kind of have a very similar message. Book three is him coming to grips with failure and being able to accept that he can't always win. He won't always succeed. It's kind of the same in book four. Similar message. Like that, maybe that's why people felt a little bit more burned. So like Kaladin's story was a bit stretched out in book four because it felt very similar to book three.
Book four is my least favorite book of Stormlight. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna say that, oh, I loved book four Cal the best. But I think stretching into three and four for Cal is still important enough because book three, we got a lot of Dalinar. We got a lot less of Cal. And when we were with Cal, we were with Shallan a lot of the time. I don't think we got to fully develop that book three arc for Kaladin. So I didn't mind it going into book four.
So as of now, do you want to put Cal very top above Syl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kaladin is our top of five.
He is the top of five. We stretched it out, but we can't.
Kaladin is five star best boy. Well, Adeline's best boy.
Adeline's best boy.
And we have Shallan, Adeline, Ashona, Idel, and are coming up next, but that's going to be in our part two, Rich.
Oh, we're starting off part two strong.
We ended part one with Cal. He's always, every Stormlight book's got to end with a little bit of Cal.
Just you like got to have a bit of Kaladin at the end,
and
always.
Then we're going to start with Shallan. Do we like her? Do we hate her? I don't know. Find out next episode.
Find out next time. Next ramble time. Next ramble episode.
We'll see you then. Part two. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.